So it looks like we got quite a bit to talk about this week. Some things I have no idea about because I haven't been paying attention. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to enlighten me.
Oh, I will enlighten you. But first, I need to let everyone know that I apologize in advance if I'm a little out of it.
Uh-oh.
Okay, tragedy has struck Rigney household. I spilled a coffee this morning, John.
Uh-oh.
Everywhere. Like, it was a giant iced latte, 20-ounce beverage, almost full to the rim, like a really stupid person would. But delicious. Like, overflowing with delicious flavor. The only problem is I knocked a box that was next to the cup, and it's amazing how far 20 ounces of milky deliciousness can go.
Did it play out in slow motion when you were like...
And my first thought, it's covering computers and chairs and floors, and it's everywhere, and I'm thinking, my coffee...
The big issue is, did it hit on the edge, like the edge of the bottom of the cup? Because if it does that, it just projects everything out in a longish
The blast stream. Radius was shocking.
It's one of those things that probably a month from now, you're going to be like, holy shit, there's coffee on the wall across the room.
Yeah, we're going to be finding it. Like the next tenants in this apartment are going to be like, is that coffee?
Is that blood?
Is that brown blood?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's the worst, though, because then you have to make another... Not only do you have to clean the mess up, you have to make another coffee.
Yeah.
Did you buy the coffee or did you make it?
I made it.
Oh, okay. That's good. Because nothing would be worse than having to get up and go across the street and get another latte.
Oh, and I'm like I'm a spendthrift, John. It would have almost killed me to have to buy another one.
That would have been a $10 cup of coffee.
I you know what? I'm getting ill just thinking about that concept right now. $5 is totally fine.
Well, in a long, long episode ago, we talked about the poor man's latte.
Yeah.
And you were the master of the poor man's latte.
Rob Lowe, also a fan of the poor man's latte.
Yeah. Just to enlighten, speaking of enlightenment, you're going to enlighten me today with some wisdom about things that happened past week. But enlighten our listeners who may not have been on board way back in the dark ages.
Back in our double-digit listeners, now that we're at triple-digit listeners. Okay, so poor man's latte is very simple. First of all, lattes are the most expensive beverages at a Starbucks or a coffee place or whatever. However, espresso is not that expensive. So all you do is you say, I want two shots of espresso, which is what normally comes in. This isn't an ice latte. This is a poor man's iced latte, by the way.
Yes.
I should be clear. And you say, I would like two shots of espresso in a venti cup or a large cup if you're not at Starbucks. And if you're not at Starbucks, you're probably like me the other day when they were closed for 3 hours, but it actually turned out to be for 6 hours for racial tension training or was. Whatever that completely waste of PR
move,
whatever.
Total PR move.
And here's the other thing. All of the workers at the Starbucks in my neighborhood are African American. So I'm not sure what racial sensitivity these people... Oh, I don't, not these people like that.
They probably were correcting them during the training.
These employees, they were probably just like, whatever, okay, we just get the rest of the day off. I assume it was paid, right?
Yes. Very expensive PR move.
Yeah, and I don't think it did anything for them, and I don't think it was really of any value for anything at all. But it did mean caused me some trouble when I was looking for a coffee the other day, and I had to... Anyway, I didn't want to get into it. It was a sad experience. But anyway, I wound up going to Times Square. And this, by the way, as you can tell, I'm on a good amount of coffee right now.
Right, you're very hyped.
I'm pretty hyped right now. Okay, so how did I start off this thing?
We're talking about the poor man's latte.
Right, so the poor man's latte. So what you do is you get two espresso shots, which are pretty cheap. And you just say, I want it in a venti cup. And they don't care.
Right.
And you get a venti cup of ice, which they'll give you for free. And then you just pour... you want to get rid of some of the ice, but then you pour your espresso over the ice and then go over to
the milk stand,
like all the goodies and the tidbits and the morsels and the accoutrement, right? And then you just take some of that milk and you just pour it right in there. You want to throw a little half and half too, make it a breve. Boom, you got yourself a breve.
And so that's like a $3 latte.
No, it's honestly, it's like a $2. It's like $2.25 instead of $5.
Yeah. There you have it, folks. There's going to be a huge dip in sales for Starbucks.
Yes.
After yes. this episode airs.
Well, hopefully it'll be masked by the store closures.
Right.
So they won't catch on.
Right.
And, you know, anyway, it's a nice way to save a couple bucks. Rob Lowe does it. And I've seen him do it. And I do it.
So,
but normally I just buy the drink. It's like a bit of work, right? Like it's right. like
you have to spend 30, 40 seconds actually doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just getting it and going. Do they have yeah. have you ever had your name a name issue at Starbucks? You know how they.
Of course I have. Anyone that's ever gone to a Starbucks.
I've never had that. I've never but, other than yeah, spelling my name John. Wrong. J-O-H-N, yeah. but
yeah. Yeah, but Jed gets Ted and then sometimes it's Jerry and sometimes it's Jed with two D's, which I guess could be a thing.
Right. That's just messing around.
Yeah. Like, maybe they just think J-E-D is too short.
Well, hopefully the sensitivity thing will help because there was a thing that was going around on a viral photograph of someone's cup that said Beaner on it from a Mexican person had it ordered.
Yeah.
A latte.
I feel like that's not true.
You think that's a joke?
I feel like that's something that someone invented, someone made up.
Just to get a little attention?
Just to get a little attention. You know why? Because that's what America runs on now. It's right. not freedom. It's not liberty. It's attention.
It's fake news.
It's fake news. How many likes did you get? How many retweets did you get? Right. How many faves did you get?
Right.
That's all that matters. It's all that fuels us, John.
Well, I would assume there's a little bit of that in all of us. I'm assuming that on the baseball meme site, there's a little peeking going on, right, to see the traffic. Little peeking.
Yeah, no, on but only towards the end of the business end of like does the traffic drive traffic right, to the no, website?
But you look like yeah, it's not for your own self esteem.
Yeah, like I don't care what happens with Jed Rigney.
You don't go to bed yeah. crying in your pillow at night if the meme didn't perform the way that you thought it would.
That's exactly right.
Right. I figured it's
that's
much.
Exactly right. I just set out the next day to have a more popular meme.
I'm driven. So let's get into some headlines.
Let's talk about some baseball, man.
So last week we were talking about Jerry DePoto has nothing to trade. And right? then Jerry DePoto goes out and probably makes the biggest midseason trade in the Mariners' history.
Is that right?
I think it is.
There's so much this early. There's so much to process about that statement.
So
that
it's very early in the trade season. And to yes. get Colomb.
Well, this is the beginning of the trade season.
Yeah, right.
Like Jerry DePoto started the trade season.
Right. And Jerry DePoto is known for that.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a really important trade for them because it shores up the back of their bullpen. Not that it was yeah. doing horribly. They have one of the best bullpens in baseball already. But I also think there's a little bit of a concern there is that, like, we just want to make sure that Diaz has an opportunity every once in a while to even though he's leading the league in saves, he blew a save right. and lost the game the other night. But, you know, that was just such a big trade.
Yeah.
You know, to go
it was
out.
A smart trade too.
Yeah,
plus Span is underrated. You know, he can mm-hmm. kind of
and he brings fourth, that leadership. Outfielder. You know, he yeah. brings a different level of veteran presence. Cano has
did
a veteran
presence.
Did we mention
presence. That Denard Span is in the trade?
He
too?
Is
did
in the
we
trade. We did not.
Okay, Alex Colomé and Denard Span from right. The Rays to the Mariners for that super high upside. What was that? What was that joke I was doing? Super high upside flamethrower right, who right. might turn into something for you.
And that's the DePoto voice, brought to you by Jed Rigney.
I guarantee you, whatever I did last week as the DePoto voice doesn't sound anything like, because it just changes all the time.
But Colomé, though, is going from the closer role to kind of the eighth inning guy now, more or less.
Yeah.
So he'll probably
and
pick
he was
up.
Kind of he was kind of struggling. He was a little bit more whip than he had in previous years.
But I think if you're a Rays fan, you're kind of like, it's not like we're completely out of it, although
right.
it seems like they are, just right hovering around 500, which I don't think yeah. anybody expected for them to be that good.
John, we expected it.
We did? You did.
We talked about this.
We did.
Yes. And but if I felt it, then you felt
it,
John.
I felt it by
wait,
osmosis.
That sounded really weird. Hashtag me too.
Against my will. I felt it against my will.
That's not all it was against. All right, that's just weird. Cut that out.
Yeah. I'm leaving that in. I'll take out the call.
That's what she said. Wait, hashtag me too.
Welcome to the low-grade version of Foul Territory.
Yeah, speaking of low-grade, you see Samantha Bee last night.
I did not.
Went after Ivanka Trump because Ivanka Trump had the gall to post a picture of herself with her child on Memorial Day. Laughing in the faces of the people, of the children separated from their families at the border. Laughing at them. Mocking them, John. Or just putting up a photo of her and her child on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I mean, one or the other, you know, depends on how full of rage and hatred you are. So Samantha Bee decided to call her the C word on her show last night, which was odd coming right after the Roseanne thing.
Right. Let's see if she gets canceled.
I'm doubting she will get canceled, John, though she is trying to cancel the inclusion of minorities at her Upper West Side school. Her husband have been actively working on that, which is,
you know, the DePoto voice, I think, works for Jared Kushner, too.
And by the way, I want to be very clear. I like women having shows. I think Samantha Bee has turned sour, which is unfortunate. She was a funny lady. She was funny on the Daily Show. But with the election, I think she has turned sour. And maybe that's good for her ratings. I don't know. But I don't think asking the daughter of a president to do something about immigration is the right move. I don't think anyone would have asked Chelsea Clinton to do something about your mother's Benghazi hearings.
Or either the young Obama girls to step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have unplugged from the mainstream news. I'm just not doing it anymore.
That's
it
good.
It serves me no purpose whatsoever. I occasionally will see headlines. I have CNN, MSNBC, Fox on my phone just to kind of look at the headlines, and that's about it. But
yeah, you want to have some contact, right?
Yeah, I just don't want to. It's the fake news, bad news, chasing news cycles are just, it doesn't serve me. So
yeah,
good
day. Yeah, no, exactly. I've been for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've been pretty well off social media. Unfortunately, in order to do this podcast and to do other things on the website, I need to go into the stories.
Right.
And most of them I just sort of gloss over because it's like, oh, really? I don't even care. I mean, North Korea, something's going on with that still. I don't know. There's going to be a thing or there's not going to be a thing.
Well, my favorite thing is that the headline's there for us to talk about. And then when I ask you about it, you're like, oh, I don't know. I didn't read the article.
Well, that's the thing, headline. Is I don't want to read. I don't want to read words, man.
Right. No, I'd rather talk. I'd rather talk about stuff. I'd rather get, you know, the visual sound bite than have to sit there and read an article. It just seems like, not that I'm saying that I don't like to read. I enjoy reading, but it seems like the news today is all about competition and speed. So it's not about thoroughness. It's about speed to get the headline.
Or anything like
that.
Yeah.
Right. So it just is a little bit, it's a whole different world. Walter Cronkite would be very sad.
There's a fun thing. The fun thing that happened in the Twitterverse a couple days ago, Trump had a rally the other day, and someone from the New York Times claimed that there were 1,000 people there, but actually there were 5,500 people there. But like, that's the problem that I have with the media right now. Like, why would you say that there's 1,000 people there? Like, to make it seem like, oh, there wasn't anyone there. Like, but that's wrong. That's a false statement. So then if you say that, how can I trust anything else that you say? Because it sounds like you're being petty.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's like, well, it's easily provable that it was. And it's not like it was like, well, it's actually 1,200. Excuse me.
Right. It's like huge. Five times difference.
Five and a half times more people.
Right.
Anyway, the hilarityness came when someone juxtaposed that person's tweet with a tweet they had made the day before where they were very concerned about a young person who had approached her calling her fake news.
Oh.
And that this was an attack on the First Amendment and like how shocking it was that people would say this.
Yeah, I'm sure the response, well, I've never been good with numbers.
it was like, well, I'm, you know, we make a mistake and we correct our mistakes. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, but
the unfortunate thing is that this is all turned into a circus. The whole idea, what Trump says is clown car stuff. And now the media is doing, they're mimicking him.
Yes, but the thing is, they don't think that they are. And no, that's what's frustrating.
Aren't. Yeah, I agree.
They think they're being like the great gatekeepers of truth.
They're not. They're constantly looking for the wrong in everything that he does. So not to say that he does a whole heck of a lot right. He's best if when he's not doing anything, he's staying quiet, staying under
like
the radar.
Like they complain about him golfing, but then like, guys, if he's golfing, he's not doing other stuff.
Right. And that's not a bad thing.
Like, what if he just spent the next 2 years golfing?
Golf, right. let the grown-ups run things in D.C. There is a huge part
of
that.
Let the Illuminati run things like they do anyway.
Yeah.
Let the Bilderberg Group send down their...
Doesn't matter what we do. Oprah, Spielberg, you know, those guys are all in charge. The Koch brothers, they do what they want.
It's been that way for decades, man. Those people don't make $1 billion just so they can hang out in nice houses. They want to run the world, man.
Yeah. That's what they're doing. That's why they're here. And we're just, you know, slaves of the grind.
Also, let's not forget the fact that aliens walk among us and coordinate with governments. Like, hello, sheeple.
Yeah.
You know, my dad's book there, which is available on Amazon, Bruce Rickney's 2 Years on the Watch.
What is that about?
He has a chapter about UFOs.
Does
basically
he?
How like, yeah, you know, we charted UFOs on the radar and this was how we were told to process the information and write it up and send it off. And
well, maybe I need to talk to your dad for my next film.
Sure.
Talk to him about his research, what he's done. So we're in pre-production right now already on part 3. We have not had a formal announcement yet about part 2. So those of you who have been waiting, you'll have to wait just a little bit more. But we're done with principal shooting, and we're in post right now on the second in a series of 3 films that will. All I can say is that part of the title will include the word extraordinary. So that was in the first film, will be in the second, also be in the third. So yeah, we'll talk.
And for those who don't know, John is the first in the series is John's extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story, which is a very interesting documentary about one man's. Very interesting and very well-documented experiences that are unlike anyone else's or unlike almost anyone else's anyway.
Yeah, very interesting human being, very interesting experiences, and very polarizing subject.
Yes.
So he's got his fans and he's got his haters and very few in between, I must say. But yeah, it's open door. So yeah, like, you know, any journey that you go on, especially in the documentary film world, when you start peeling the layers of the onion, you get deeper and deeper. So the second film kind of blew our mind a little bit with some of the stuff that we learned, and the third film is going to take it even further. Looking for some whistleblowers out there. So if you know anybody that is in the or former government that wants to tell their story, deathbed confessional, if you will, we're open to it.
Nice.
So we're way off.
Yeah. But anyway, hey John, check out his book. It's,
I will.
Or at least check out the chapter on that stuff. It's really interesting.
Is it on Amazon?
Yeah.
What's the name of the book again?
It's 2 Years on the Watch.
2 Years on the Watch
by Bruce Rickney.
I'll check it out. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's got a lot of like anecdotes about he was a intelligence officer during the Cold War.
So it was like the Night's Watch. Was he on the wall?
It was. You know what? It was not like that, and yet it still kind of was.
Okay. Did he know Jon Snow?
He did not know Jon Snow, but there was lots of snow because he was in Germany at the time.
Oh, okay.
And it was on like a hill.
No. Oh, okay.
Not, and that's like a wall.
Did he wear?
And there were walls.
Did he wear bear fur?
He did not wear bear fur.
I'm going way off path.
Yeah.
So let's get back to baseball because we've covered one headline.
Oh, wow.
We were talking about Colomain Span and... what's even more interesting about this, even though the Mariners continue to get injured, they had an amazing streak. They were, I think, 9-3 until they lost the last two against the woeful Rangers, which is kind of surprising.
What's exciting about this to me, John, is the Mariners are playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Paxton looks awesome. the rest of the pitching staff looks solid. Marco Gonzalez looks like really it was good. Worth trading Tyler O'Neill for him. But what I'm interested in is like, okay, so the Angels are now out of the playoffs. And that's a playoff caliber team, but they got to make a trade. And you know what they have that the Mariners do not have? They have a super deep farm system with players at like every level who could be like Joe Adell is like just tearing up the minor leagues right now, just tearing them up. Jamay Jones. And it's like a lot of these sort of redundant players that the team doesn't need. But you could take one of those guys and go get yourself, you know, this year's version of J.D. Martinez.
Do you think Machado is a possibility there?
No, because they got well, I guess he could play third, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where they would really do well to fill out his third. Because I think right now it's just like Luis Valbuena and Zach Cozart and whatever.
And I think he would be okay going back to third because it's just for the rest of the season. So it's not like he's, you know.
I mean, I still think he winds up with the Dodgers. I still think that there's – it just doesn't make any sense for him to go anywhere other than the Dodgers. Machado. Mm-hmm. But look at Moustakas raking with the Royals. Right. Perfect fit for the Angels at third base. Decent defense. Great bat. Left-handed bat, by the way, which is a weakness the team has. We'll see. I'm excited to see where this goes. I always get excited about trading season.
It's fun. Definitely.
It's fun. It's fun in fantasy baseball. It's fun in real baseball. It's fun. It's fun how the two intermingle, how a player gets traded in fantasy baseball and how, or in real baseball and how that affects fantasy baseball. There's so much about it that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun time for everyone.
Yeah, it is. Good times. So were you surprised about the Hanley Ramirez move with the Red Sox?
I would say I was actually surprised until I saw his wins above replacement was actually negative.
Mm-hmm.
So his batting was good, but his defense is just so not good at first base that he was actually negative 0.2 wins above replacement.
But he had like an awesome April.
He had an awesome April and the team wrote it.
May. So he hasn't been, so it's like, the, I think it's a money move, even though they said it's not.
It's only a money
totally move. A money move.
I mean, here's the thing. If he was one win above replacement, they wouldn't have done it.
Right.
But he hasn't been, and Moreland has been more than good enough. He's been good with like a 380 on base percentage and, you know, like, okay, well, maybe that makes him a little bit weaker against left-handed starters, but there aren't a lot of left-handed. They have all the left-handed starters. Like, I don't think they need to worry about that too much. They got, four left-handed starters in their rotation and Porcello. So, I was surprised. But then when I looked at the numbers, I was like, oh, yeah, no. Pedroia was coming up. They don't need this guy anymore. They certainly don't want to pay him. They have to pay him the 22 for this year. But if he'd gotten to 500 at-bats or 497, it's 24 the next year.
All right. Cora was the one that pulled – that initiated that as the move for Pedroia coming back. And Dombrowski seemed to be initially surprised, so he said. I think that was all kind of like they knew for a while that that's what they were going to do because they save a ton of money, by doing that.
I mean, it's so much money that they're saving that, like, he's just not good enough to justify that much money.
Yeah, and he's a clubhouse cancer, too. So,
I got the feeling that was kind of the case, too, when they were like, it's like, well,
everybody he's hitting likes okay, it. But you know, he'll do fine. Wherever he goes next, he'll probably do really well for a while, and people will fall in love with him, and then he kind of falls back into full-on Hanley mode.
Yeah. Great. Like it's so funny that Hanley Ramirez and Manny Ramirez would be so similar in their career paths. And
Hanley being Hanley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it'll be interesting where he lands. So some of the things I've been hearing about is the White Sox would be a good fit for him.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of teams lining up. So far, there's been no one knocking on the door for the trade, and he gets, I think it's the end of this week.
Well, yeah, no one will trade for him.
Yeah,
the end of this week. No one will trade for him because if they trade for him, they get that.
Right, stuck with that.
They get stuck with extension. That possibility of $24 million next year. So
the Diamondbacks, they're back on the beam for a game or two.
That's right.
So they had their first series win in 3 weeks. That's unbelievable for a team that was so dominant in April.
Remember, they started off the season without losing a series for the first 5 weeks or whatever. Yeah. They're just killing everybody. And Paul Goldschmidt got his first home run.
That humidor is a bitch.
I think it was inside his head, though, or something,
probably
right?
Like, was. Yeah, probably was.
Maybe now he can kind of stop swinging so wildly or something. But
well, it is
it's
interesting.
So weird when a player that good just suddenly hits a slump like yeah. that. Like,
I mean, a massive slump too, and that's yeah. mental. A lot of it is mental too.
Oh, of course.
And he's a quiet
or
guy.
You know, it could be that there's like a little, just a little physical thing there. Mm-hmm. You know.
He's like one of those nagging. Quiet personalities too. Yeah. The ones that you know that you know he's not effervescent and is like, you know, it's a slump, I'll get through it. You know, he may be ruminating over, you know, his at bats on a nightly basis. You know, he's yeah. just not one of those guys you have a really good read about.
In his own emotional humidor.
Right. He's stuck in his emotional humidor. He needs to dial it down. Dial it down. A little bit more of that humidity in.
Yeah.
So he could be So, but it is interesting, though, how the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers' poor start has made Colorado look amazing.
And they don't look that good. Their offense has been sort of middling, especially for a Colorado team. Yeah.
But their pitching's great on the road and horrible at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable how different the numbers are. And, you know, Bud Black signed up for this. You know, that was a surprise that a pitching-focused manager would choose Colorado as his. But, you know, maybe it was a challenge. I'll figure this out.
It's just, also, maybe it was the only job available.
It could be the only offer that came his way. So the Rays, who are kind of – there's a little bit – making a little bit of a mockery of the value of a starting pitcher. Three games in a row with relievers starting.
Well, here was my understanding of the logic was – they wanted to okay, so the last weekend, they started each of the games with a relief pitcher and then went to a starting pitcher, which, unfortunately, the one starting pitcher I have in fantasy baseball from the Rays was in a league where if they don't start, they don't actually, their statistics don't count at all. So that was pretty great when Anthony Banda went in and got six innings of, like, two-hit ball. But it didn't count because it was technically a relief appearance. So they started the game twice with Sergio Romo. By the way, both times he gave up runs.
that worked out well.
Yeah, no, it's not very smart. Or I guess not a very effective thing. But the idea was bring in a relief pitcher to shut down the top of the order to start the game. Mm-hmm. Then let the relief pitcher, the actual starting pitcher, come in and face the bottom part of the lineup. And then only have to face the top part of the lineup twice.
Okay, I get that.
Because they've been doing the five innings thing in Tampa Bay. Some of the locals here are pretty excited about it, as you can hear with the sirens. They've been doing the five inning things where they try not to let their starting pitchers face the heart of the order the third time. Because that's a lot of pitchers wind up getting in trouble at that time. So they tried to shift it. And Sergio Romo wound up giving up runs both times anyway. So
that didn't
but it was kind of interesting to see them try new things. And
well, you know, you look at you know where baseball was 50 years ago and where it is today, drastically different. And things that that you know, when I was a kid, we would never expect to have the shift being such a big part of the game. And now it's an accepted part of the game. So doing something a little bit different.
I could see playoff games going this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like. Let's say you have like two dominant guys. You have like the Dodgers have like Josh Fields and Kenley Jansen. Mm-hmm. So Kenley Jansen is going to close the game because you want him for as many innings. But then you take Josh Fields, you have him start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe? I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's just like how, you know, the Andrew Miller effect and how that changed baseball.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody went to like, we need to, I mean, how much money was spent in the offseason? This year on relievers. Huge amounts.
And most of that not working out so great. But some of it's worked out really well. But a lot of money.
Yeah. And you have to be a dominant pitcher in order to make that work. You know, to have that, you know, because there's going to be days where you're doing well and then other days you're not. Is Kenley Jansen a perfect example? You know, lights out for two seasons straight and then real rough start to this year.
Yeah,
but has he turned things around in the last few weeks?
Yeah, he looks. I wouldn't say he looks like peak Kenley Jansen, but you know he's up to 93 miles an hour, which is better than the 91 for sure. And he's not giving up the hard contact like he was, so that's good.
You know, it is tough, though, in the modern era with all the advanced metrics that are available, because now pitchers are being downgraded because, well, they were hitting 93, 94 in their prime, but now they're at like 92.8. And it's getting so micro. Like, I was looking at stuff about Lincecum. You know, Lincecum's only hitting 90 where, you know, he's way off. So there's concern that he'll ever even make it back to the major league. And the 8 ERA in the minors doesn't help either. But, it's all about advanced metrics today. I was talking to you before the show that I wasn't aware of Altuve's 10 straight hits. That's pretty big news.
Well, it's big news for a lot of reasons. One, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and he's the kind of guy that would do that, right? Because his on-base percentage to batting average is not like all the guys like Harper and Trout and Votto, where it's like a good 100-point difference. Altuve's a hitter. He's swinging and he's hitting, but he hits the ball hard when he hits the ball hard. Right. That doesn't make sense. But when he makes the contact, he makes good contact. But he's been a bit of a slow start this year. And just, only like 4 home runs or something like that, which for a guy his size would normally be like, oh, wow, he's going to wind up with like 12 or 14. That's great. But having hit into the 20s the last couple of years, and he's not really stealing bases like he used to, it was kind of like, where the hell's the MVP? Where'd he go?
Is that
good to see him
contract?
Turn it around. It brought all his numbers back up to the healthy levels. Right. 10 hits in a row will do that for a hitter.
Yeah, that'll jump you up in the batting average statistics and on-base percentage.
Yeah.
And when was that during this week or last week?
Yeah, just this last week.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. Big day for both Giants fans and Dodger fans because Bumgarner and Kershaw coming back. I think Kershaw's pitching tonight. Bumgarner's this weekend, right?
I think Bumgarner have a minor league appearance.
Okay, what I read was that it's going to be a decision on whether or not he does the minor league appearance or just comes right up. So if he comes right up, he'll pitch this weekend. If not, it will be next week.
Yeah, and they've been waiting for him for, obviously since the beginning of the season.
Right.
And, they're not doing terribly, and I don't think he's going to make much of a difference for them, but
missing him for 2 months.
Great pitcher. I always love when the great pitchers come back. Yeah. Kershaw, it's better for the game. It's better for the league.
And we get to see him hit again, too, so that's always exciting.
Yes, we do get that. Though, Otani's been stealing all the... All the pitcher hitting thunder, so... Yeah,
definitely. So is Kershaw's return going to have a huge impact on the Dodgers, you think?
Well, they're doing that same thing that they were doing last year. We're sort of like cycling everybody out, and Maeda's got a little injury, so he'll go on the 10-day DL. And then, Alex Wood, who has been solid the last couple times out, not the last outing, but the one before that, like, he's been Alex Wood, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good pitcher.
Right.
They need Kershaw to come back and be Kershaw and to not give up solo home runs to Joe Panic.
Right, and walk 6 people.
and not walk 6 Marlins.
Yeah, hopefully. Me too. I'm hoping so, too. I paid an awful premium on him in our fantasy league, and I ain't getting anything for that this season.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll turn it around. He'll get hot for 2 or 3 games, and I can leverage that streak into getting some juicy prospects.
Yeah, maybe then I'll make room on my salary cap for him. Go. Like, yeah,
you've wanted him on your team for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe we can work
something
out. It
just hasn't quite worked out. It hasn't quite worked out with me and the Kersh.
The Kersh. He's your boy. Well, he's not your boy. Trout's your boy.
Trout's my boy, yeah.
So we're Bumgarner, Kershaw coming back. Mets have the opposite problems. Syndergaard just went on the DL, I believe.
Yeah. And Matt's left a game the other night with an finger injury. And Syndergaard's was a finger injury as well. So, and you need your fingers to pitch. I don't know if you
absolutely
were aware.
Absolutely do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the challenge there is, as we talked about in the beginning of the season, if the pitching staff performs, the Mets are contenders. If not, they're not. And Right. The pitching hasn't been as good lately, and the Mets, even though it's hard to believe that four of the five teams in the NL East are above 500.
Yeah. I mean, really, John, the real challenge here is to figure out what are the Mets pitchers doing with their fingers?
That is a good question. Take them out of your nose.
What, if it's nose picking, okay, figure it out. Figure out some other way.
Yeah, it's just like the blister thing. Certain time, you know, certain teams, it was like, I remember Josh Beckett, the dealing with him constantly with the blisters.
Yeah.
Dominant pitcher, when he didn't have blisters, the blisters sidelined him every season.
And what was he doing, right? In his hotel room at night? Right. Dial it down, Josh.
He was eating chicken in the clubhouse during the game.
Use your left hand, Josh.
Okay, so...
this is a sexually charged episode of Foul Territory.
All that coffee, I think.
Did we come up with a... We didn't introduce the show. This is Foul Territory.
That's right.
I'm Jed Rigney.
I'm John Sumple. This is episode 67 of Foul Territory, the Seth Lugo episode.
Nice. Who I think is pitching today, actually.
I believe he is. He is.
Another weird coincidence.
I think we're getting to the point where we're going to start... I mean... There's slim pickings every week to come up with the number, but I have to pull a name that
I mean, really, everyone just wants us to count down for two episodes from now, John. That's all
right.
Anyone
we're
cares
almost
about.
There. That the episode, nice episode talk about is sexually approaching. Charged episode.
Yes. You know what? Everything in that episode should be sexual innuendo.
I can't wait for starting 69 for that one. That will be a fun episode, everybody. We're teasing it, and yeah, that's the first time I think we've waited 35 minutes into the show to introduce.
Here's the deal. Hey, John, just cut this part out of the audio, right, and just move it earlier, and then just be like, hey, look, yeah, we just started the show, and then cut it, and then if you need to put like a siren going by to create an audio sort of mask any choppy audio. People believe it. I got sirens going on here. Get some room tone. Perfect. You can just take that little clip right there, put it wherever you want.
I think I'm just going to leave it as it is because it's better.
That's a little insider industry.
It's magic. It's magic.
A thing right there. Like people just learned a little bit about post-production and actual film production.
Everything that you see is an illusion. We're here. It's an illusion.
Every time a scene is shot in a film, the audio guy has to stop everyone where they are and record silence.
Right. Usually 15 seconds will do it.
Yeah, 15 seconds, so that the post production people have a silence that matches exactly the silence in the room in case they need that for the sound editing in the scene, because. Every silence in every room is different. Unique from mm-hmm. other sounds. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. A little tip.
There you go.
Filmmaker tip.
Yeah, filmmaker insider brought to you by Jed Rigney. Okay, so let's move on to... I didn't even know that this... I can't imagine the day when baseball replaces the home plate umpire with technology.
Well, it's not necessarily replaces them, but maybe replaces the balls and strikes and then replaces them with drones.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Skynet.
I mean, part of this too is I was thinking about some of the whole thing with the football catch rule too and stuff like this. It's like that's part of the game to me. It's like the judgment calls in the moment that they're happening. Let's just play the game.
If everything played except whether the ball was actually a strike or a ball was known.
Everything played.
Like, what if that was, like, let him play. Let him run the first base, tags, slides, all that. But if a ball is 3 inches off the plate outside, the umpire doesn't ring up the batter with a fancy dance move and moonwalks his way to the dugout.
Right.
What if that didn't happen? Just saying. And again, my idea for the technology is that it's not a binary system. It's not ball or strike. It's ball, strike, and then, hey, judgment call, blue, it's on you. Because I do feel that there's some...
Room for error.
room for like, hey, you know what? That was really close. We'll let you call this one.
Well, it's like in tennis. They have the eye thing that,
yeah,
you know, where they can.
I just, it. What I want is the one that's like clearly down the heart of the plate that's called a ball. I want to get rid of that from the sport.
Well, I want to get, embarrassing. I mean, it's the corner. So, you know, you have some umpires that are, there's a little bit more room on the corners than others.
Well, almost all umpires extend the plate to the, away from left-handed hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all umpires do that for some reason. It's an optical illusion thing for them, or whatever.
The slow-mo cameras now, a technology that you can see. I mean, they place in, you know, cameras high up above the catcher, looking down, and you can see, you know.
Yeah. They've got graphic effects of like here's where in the three-dimensional zone the ball went through and then came out.
Right.
The only problem with those graphics is that sometimes Alex Rodriguez is talking over them, and wow, what an annoying person he has become. Wow.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling.
I've only seen a couple of games. It was early in the season, and they definitely needed to throttle him back a little
bit. Oh, my. Where is he? What sport was he playing?
I think he likes to hear himself talk.
Oh, yes, that's
just
for
a tad.
Sure. You mean the guy who took a picture of himself making out with himself in the mirror?
Right.
You mean that guy that likes guy. To hear himself talk? Yeah. I think you might be right, John.
Yeah. So what's this story about Jose Ramirez was nearing a suspension? Was that a PED thing?
Yeah, so a Dominican newspaper, it says outlet, so I don't know what that even means. I don't know what that means in terms of what the – does the Dominican even have newspapers?
I'm not sure.
Like, you would think they'd be using that paper for, like, toilet paper. I don't know. That may be a little xenophobic on my part. I apologize.
Tad.
But yeah, so there was a report going around that he was about to get suspended for PED. But MLB has confirmed that no, there is no imminent suspension. And they would know, right? Because like Cano's came out, whatever, 2 weeks ago, but they knew from the beginning of the season.
Right. They knew in January he tested negative. Yeah.
Exactly. Positive. Right. So anyway, Jose Ramirez had a big laugh about it, but of course they had to do due diligence. And the league's not going to suspend him. But I just thought it was interesting. He's one of those guys, you know, he's hitting a little more home runs than people thought he would in his career. And it would be funny, though, if he actually did wind up testing positive for something, right?
It would. That would kind of...
like next year.
Yeah,
like,
minimize MLB's awareness. Well, their whole thing is like, it's outsourced. We don't know. Gomez with the Rays is talking about, you know, he gets tested constantly. He said it's a joke. He thinks people are being targeted. He had some interview this week where he was saying,
"Oh, that's right.
I'm going to just put it out there that I think certain players," and he said specifically Latino players, for whatever reason, I'm not quite sure about that, are being targeted. So he said he's already had 7 or 8, and he goes, "It's not random. He just came off the DL, and you know, 2 days later, he's having a test." He goes, "I've already had 7 tests this year, so I don't know where they're, you know, just, you know." Agitated, or do players really get tested that frequently?
Well, he's a little bit of a red ass anyway, right?
He is, like, yeah. He's a little, I mean, just a tad of a...
Come on.
Likes the limelight. Little bit of a, I don't want to say hothead, but he's an excitable player for sure.
Yes.
So here's a fun little story. Beloved Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
Gets booed at Yankee Stadium on his birthday. Oh, how
on
the mighty
has
fallen.
Maybe the greatest New York mayor of the last 30 years.
Yes, I would.
One could argue that he was the best.
In a time of
crisis,
he
was there for the 9/11 and helped turn around Times Square.
Right.
Da, 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 da. I mean, there were mayors before him, you know, in history that obviously were better than him. But he has done so much to just sort of like shit, and pardon the language, but shit all over his... Legacy, I feel.
Yeah.
Like getting involved with just stuff like, again, chasing the limelight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
celebrity.
Just get your own show or something. Like start a podcast, Rudy.
I think he was doing one.
Oh, okay.
And
maybe that wasn't enough for him.
He probably wasn't.
But every time he opens his mouth, it sounds like he's just saying like, "Hey, pay attention to me."
Right.
But with
right.
that weird speech impediment that he
right.
has. Which I don't want to mock because I don't think that it's, you know,
and I'm
whatever.
I'm super thrilled, though, that he did get his teeth fixed. That's a good thing.
Wasn't he the one that had, like, the really nice upper teeth and then the really crusty lower teeth.
Right. And, well, it was
and then people were like, that's how politicians treat people. Right. The people up top are really well taken care of, and the people down below are all decayed. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, on his birthday, Yankee fans let him have it.
And you, yeah, well.
And speaking of.
Stop being a jerk. You won't get booed at. Well, you know what? That's not true. Maybe he was striking out too much with the fans. Yeah, they don't seem to like that.
And across town at City Field, there was just a little bit of a fire.
Yeah, metaphor alert.
right. Just a tad. I saw the photo, the meme that was on the Facebook page, the baseball memes page. When did that happen? Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday. Yeah, there was a. I don't want to say it was a big fire, but it was created a lot of smoke, and they put it out pretty quick. But it's one of those things where it's just like a little too on the nose with the, you know, with the symbolism. Like, yeah, we know the Mets are having some trouble right now. I assume it had something to do with someone's fingers. The fire had something to do with someone's fingers. I can only, maybe the chicken fingers caught fire and then.
Was it a dumpster fire?
It was not an actual dumpster fire, though one could argue that the Mets have become that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, that takes care of headlines.
Yeah, that's fun.
That was good. So now starting nine, this is exciting. I have high expectations for this one. Should I?
Yeah, this one was fun.
Okay. One's about Jurassic World. I'm going to take a look at nine players with dinosaur names.
That's Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, by the way.
One. Yes, the new one.
The new one, which comes out in the next couple weeks here.
It looks good.
And looks to be just as good as the first one, which was fine.
Right. It's just that special effects laden, the trailers kind of get you hooked. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And Chris
dinosaurs in real, in present day, that sort of thing, you know.
So
you ready to do this?
Let's do it. Let her rip.
All right, good. So here we go. First of all, we're not going to include Bartolo Colon.
Okay.
Despite his...
being a real dinosaur.
Being an actual dinosaur. But let's lay these out here. Julio Tyrannosaurus.
Okay.
Julio Tyrann from the from the Braves. Okay. Pedro Tricera Strope.
Okay.
All right. Pedro Strope from the Cubs. Mm-hmm. Vincent Velasquez Raptor.
That's good. I like that one.
Yeah, Spinosaurus Martin. Spinosaurus, very, I've never actually heard it, but it's actually a very popular dinosaur amongst the kids.
Oh.
Spinosaurus.
Yeah, and that's a kid thing too, dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got Gene Stegosaurus.
Okay. Stegosaurus?
Yeah, Stegosaurus. Yeah.
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 Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Brad Brachiosaurus.
Okay, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
Joey Megalodon.
Good.
Megalodon, for those who don't know, is the giant shark dinosaur.
And there's a new movie coming out on that. Jason
new movie coming out. We could do a whole thing.
Right.
And then there's Ryan Brontosaurus.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lends itself
well. And lastly, it's not an actual dinosaur. It's a pterosaur, but still, Chris Pterodactylman.
Good.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Did you had to dust off your children's books for dinosaurs to kind of go through those?
I had to dust off my Google.
Your Google? Yeah.
My Google. Yeah.
Yeah, books. Who uses those? So we got time to whip through Around the Horn?
Nah, let's skip that.
You sure?
Let's do a short one today.
Okay. Sounds good. Folks, stay tuned for next week. We'll do the same thing. So next week, a little teaser. Who should be traded from each team?
The best part about it is that we will have a week to research this, and we will do no research. All of these will be just off the top of our heads.
Right. That's how we roll.
That's how we do Around the Horn.
Right.
Around the Horn is unresearched.
Our research department has cobwebs.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to extra innings. We'll take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball.
Yeah.
I did not watch. Actually, the time zone thing totally threw me. Not that I'm a huge IndyCar fan and that I turned it on, but it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. I'm like, oh, Indianapolis 500 was today. So the big news was this was Danica Patrick's swan song from racing. And didn't even finish the race. How far into the race was it when she...
And also, I assume GoDaddy commercials.
Yes. I think she will be done with that.
You know, actually, honestly, I don't know... I don't know how far she got into the race. I just know that it was her last race, and then when I looked in to see, by the time I looked in to see, she had already crashed.
And is she still dating Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that was he moved on from Olivia Munn to Danica Patrick.
You know what? It's all good from there. It's all good after Olivia Munn, man.
But he's staying in the limelight.
He's been fighting with his family in the media, which is pretty great.
Who has been fighting?
But considering she shared Chris, what's the guy from Star Trek? Chris
Pine.
Chris Pine. She accidentally shared his text, screen caps of his text, where he was into butt stuff.
Right.
That accidentally got out.
I wonder if there's going to be any accidental texting.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Aaron Rodgers is into sheep or something.
Well, I'll just hope she goes away and then it'll be fine.
Right. She will. So Danica Patrick, we don't know much about it.
She crashed. The sad part about it is, of course, there's all the lady driver jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Which we are not going to do here because we are above that. We are above that sort of Samantha Bee, you know, female misogyny kind of thing.
Right.
It was too bad that she ended her career that way. Like, I think,
there was hope that she was, it was probably several years ago. She was the first woman to ever lead the Indy 500 because she was on a lead lap for at least one lap. I think that everybody was hoping, not to say everybody, but there was like, maybe this is the person who's going to actually be able to, and she never really did anything in NASCAR and was middle of the pack at best. So.
Yeah. And it's too bad. Most people don't think of race drivers as athletes, but there is a great deal of physical strength required and endurance required
to
pull it off. Otherwise, it would be more split.
Just think about driving 200 miles an hour, making 4 turns every 2 minutes for 3 hours.
John, first of
grueling.
All, as a heavyset gentleman, which I am, I can tell you part of it is just the logistics of getting a bigger person in there. That's why they're all in good shape.
Right. They have to be.
They have to be. Otherwise, they just won't fit in. Like, they had to use a special steering wheel for me. They had to get a flat wheel. Like, get the flat wheel out. Get the flat wheel out. He won't fit in. Get the flat wheel. Like, okay, can we just yell it louder? Can you put it on the PA system? Can everybody at the California Motor Speedway know that I need the flat wheel?
Did you do a drive a car thing? That IndyCar experience?
Yeah, I did. We only got up to about 140, though.
Only?
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's exhilarating. They let you do, like, they let you pass. They let you get past.
Do they let you hit the wall?
You go around the thing. No, they don't let you hit the wall.
Do they let you do a pit stop?
They keep it at speeds that are manageable. And, well, when you stop, you just stop. That's it.
I thought that maybe they would do the whole tire things, so, you know, change the tires.
I mean, when I got out of the car, I went to the bathroom, which is some people call a pit stop.
Right. Yeah, that's okay. So you had the pit stop experience on pit road. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So what is the, I don't know anything about this one either, the 76ers, Philadelphia 76ers, NBA GM caught up in a Twitter burner scandal? What's that?
Okay, so do you know what a Twitter burner is? It's like a burner phone, but it's a fake Twitter account.
Got it.
Lots of people do this so they can like make their comments anonymously about things. Mm-hmm. But the accusation is that the GM of the 76ers was going onto Twitter and talking crap about players on the team.
On his own team?
On his own team.
Or just to denounce them?
Well, here's the thing. The motivation isn't known because he denies it.
Oh. So, yeah, that was like, I'm so pissed off at my team, I can't say it vocally because I'll do it as a...
And here's the thing. It's 2018. This is totally believable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This isn't like, oh, that could never happen. This is like, yeah, that makes total sense that there would be someone that whacked out.
Yeah. That is weird. That someone, there was something else
recently. He denies it. Other people are kind of like, yeah, maybe he didn't. But it's like, eh, there's some pretty good evidence.
Yeah. Politicians do it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably becoming more and more of a
I've thought of doing it. I thought, like, wouldn't it be cool if I just had, like, an anonymous account?
And you could rip on me?
Where I could just go and be like, God damn John Sample. Have you heard his podcast? He's so annoying. He doesn't research any of the articles.
Go ahead. Let's do it. Let's do it. The Twitter burner scandal, TBS.
Yeah.
The old TBS.
Yeah. Yeah.
So probably the biggest pop culture news of the week, maybe the year so far, is Roseanne Barr misspeaking on Twitter.
And, do you mean Ambien speaking?
Ambien speaking, right. And she's basically destroying the career, not career, but temporarily hindering, you know, a whole cast and crew of her show for just what she's considering a Ambien faux pas.
Right.
Which Ambien even came out and said, no, we really wouldn't have done that. Wouldn't have had an effect. But yeah.
Right. Did Ambien also say that all the websites that list Ambien stories are fake? Like, there's like top 25 violent acts caused by someone on Ambien. Right. Did they come out against that? Did Ambien do that? Because, you know, people do my wife has a friend who does Ambien regularly. And the tweets that she gets and the text messages that she gets are straight up crazyville.
So you can go into an Ambien tirade?
Yeah, people buy stuff online. People go out for walks. One person was like, I took an Ambien, and then the next thing I knew, I had changed my shirt and I wasn't wearing any underwear.
Oh.
And I was sitting in my living room.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it is drugs. Drugs are bad.
But still, I mean, the response to this, I think, actually was, there's positives and negatives to this story, obviously. And you know, people are going to be like, what are you talking about? There's only positives. Well, the negatives are it affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, someone's livelihood is impacted by that. That's pretty
severe. 100 people easily.
Yeah. So that's bad. I mean, it was probably the breakout hit of the year, you know, on TV and, you know. Yeah. You know, great audience, great.
The problem that I have with it is the precedent that it sets. First of all, you should not have given Roseanne a show before, because she was a crazy person a year ago,
right?
When she was doing 9/11 truther stuff and dress. I think that's Roseanne coming for me.
She's
wow, guys, I'm back in New York. All right, get over it. When she was dressing up as Hitler,
mm-hmm.
like.
Grabbing her crotch.
This is a known issue.
Yeah,
this is a pre-existing condition.
Right.
And then for her to like, and this, she came out and made this terribly ugly racist comment about Valerie Jarrett, of course. But is that alone a fireable offense? Because there are a lot of people saying Samantha Bee goes on the air and says that
we're going to get all of that.
And is the C word. So then what's the standard?
Well, she's a comedian.
Roseanne Barr is a comedian.
Yeah, I guess.
Roseanne Barr, of the two of those, Roseanne Barr is the actual only comedian.
Right.
Like, did 20 years of stand-up comedy.
Right.
Like, that's a stand-up comedian. Samantha Bee is a comedy performer more than anything. And she isn't even really that. If you look at her, and I don't want to, like, crap all over Samantha Bee because I loved her on The Daily Show. But if you watch, like, interviews with her, that's not a fun person.
No.
That's a very serious person. And I'm not saying, like, you shouldn't be serious. I'm just saying she's a very serious person. Roseanne Barr's a nut. Roseanne Barr loses her show that she probably shouldn't have had in the first place. Right. Like, she was... Do people not remember this about her? And then she makes an off-color remark, which she immediately apologized for. And I'm not saying you don't cancel her show. I'm just saying if that's the standard now...
Yeah. Everybody has to
then
be
let's have that
the
be the standard.
Standard.
And right. Everyone gets held to that standard. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree. It can't be just a left or right thing. It has to be something, you know, it goes both ways.
Because also she's not left or right, by the way. She's kind of both, and she's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. You know, is it a precedent? Are we going to see more of that? You know, I think all the left-wing, hardcore left-wing people are like now going to be like looking for anybody that bends the decorum just a tad and start, you know, calling for heads. And you know, it's got to, we're getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, we're tearing each other apart.
Again, it's about,
can't
about
we all
standards?
Just get along?
And I think that, you know, if she uses the Ambien excuse, and maybe that's BS, but Ambien is known for really bad side effects.
Let's try a little test. You and I, let's take Ambien. Let's get popped up on Ambien for a couple of weeks and see what happens. That could be an interesting experiment. So, nice. You know, we'll come
let's
back.
Let's wrap this thing up.
We'll
let's
come
get
back
out of
in
here.
2 weeks and we'll be like, so this is what I did on Ambien. Okay. Last but not least, the Kardashians, they're back.
Yeah, this is going to be the caboose of our show. Yeah. This is the...
literally.
This is the end of our... We're going to end this show with the biggest end that there is.
So what happened? She's going to the White House?
Kim Kardashian went to the White House, talked to Donald Trump about prison reform.
Of course she did.
Here's the thing. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right. Prison reform?
But you know what? I support it. I hate the Kardashians so much. But this is a person whose job in life is bringing attention to things, whether it's products or her butt or whatever.
Or Kanye West.
Or Kanye West. Whatever it is that she does, her job is to bring attention to things. This country absolutely needs prison reform.
Absolutely.
And if she's going to help bring some attention to it, then okay.
I actually think she went just so she could check out where she might live next.
Ah, right?
Kanye's running.
Get the decorating, the redecorating right. Started.
Right. So what's coming up next?
Baseball umpires fear for their livelihoods and their very lives in the blockbuster action adventure, iRobot.